Welcome to the Kompoz.com podcast. That's Kompoz.com. I'm Ezra with a Z, Ezra Vansel, also known as King Ez on Kompoz. Today we're talking with Eric Stauer. We're going to have a great conversation about Creative Commons, and Eric knows his stuff. He's from Wired Magazine and was a director at Creative Commons. You're going to want to stay tuned for this. But right now, I just want to chill with a tune from Derek Clegg off of Kompoz.
This is half as good. You know I think you should come and sit with me. Come and sit with me, as I'm afraid to die. You float with me like an angel. Fall in love with me, overdo it. Float with me like an angel.
Man, I'm so glad to be here today. I had so much fun on the last show and talking to you and all the great suggestions that came in and the support, and I really appreciate that. I'm glad you're enjoying it, and just keep it coming in and letting us know. Ask questions. You can send them to Kompoz, podcast@kompoz.com, and send any questions to that and they'll get to me. And if you have any comments, any suggestions for the show, anything you want to hear about, I'm just the type of guy that go out there and find the answers and find it from the best qualified people to answer it. And today we have Eric Stauer, and he's from Wired Magazine. And this guy was started at Creative Commons back in 2005 all the way up to 2013, and still is a consultant there and really knows his stuff. I thought I knew everything about it. Actually, I didn't. It was actually good, the lack of knowledge I had, because I really wanted to know the answers to these questions. Now, we had a suggestion that I thought was a great idea, which was to offer some help for us musicians that are collaborating in just our normal course of spreading the word on our great music. And I wanted to kind of drop in here when I can in each segment something that has helped me and what I've learned from others that I've talked to in different aspects of my own music career, and also using composed music and Creative Commons music. And today I want to give you the King Ez tip of the day. Are you on Twitter? I know you are, but maybe you're not getting the response you want. And I'll tell you something I learned from Twitter. I have a secret. They're people. You have to talk to them. To blast out a song and not put it at anyone is probably just going to sit there, and you might get a few reactions. So when you send out a song, send it at several people that you interact with on Twitter. And if you're not interacting with people, just like any people, if you ignore them, if you don't react to them, they probably will not react to you. And everybody's really busy these days. So here's the tip of the day. We're going to talk about day of the week hashtag and tagging people in these hashtags in an authentic way of suggesting followers or people you follow or people that follow you that you think other people would enjoy on their timeline, enjoy getting to know. If you just throw a bunch of bots in there, then people are not going to react to you and they'll probably unfollow you. So think of some people that you really know. You know they're great musicians, and here are the hashtags, and you probably want to pick one or two of these and do it regularly. Like, get you a calendar and write down Follow Fridays and have it ping you, and every Friday do a hashtag FF and hashtag the people you've talked with on Twitter that week, people you're listening to, or people you want to introduce to other people. Other tweeps will really enjoy this, and it is a reward to them that you are sharing it with your people. When you share it with other followers that have many followers, they will probably retweet that. Now, you can also use hashtag MM, which I think is Meow Monday, but I use it for Music Monday, and I send out a song, not always my own song, somebody else's song, so that I can build those relationships once again and show my appreciation for the musicians that follow me. You can also do hashtag TT, which I think it's Terrific Tuesday, but you can make these up. You could do something funny. I think they have Woofy Wednesdays, WW. But don't do it all the time, but just pick you a few days and do that and just watch the followers you start to get. And if you do it regularly, other followers will start to add you into their Follow Fridays and their Manic Mondays or their Music Mondays because you start to build relationships. And it's a good way to keep up with those relationships because you can ask people how they're doing, how their Friday is, and tag about five or six people with that FF tag. And that is my tip of the day. Now, as usual, the credits are at the end of the show for any music that's used here, and all music is used from Compose.com. And also, I'm going to play the song of the day at the end of the show every week. But right now, I'm excited to get in and talk about Creative Commons with Eric. Well, let's ask him how to pronounce it. We have Eric Stuer with us today. Is that pronounced correctly, Stuer?
It's pronounced Stoyer, actually.
Stoyer. Okay, that's an interesting name. We have Eric Stoyer with us today, and he is the director of community at Wired, the board chair at Cash Music that's been going on since 2009. He was the creative director at Creative Commons, and that started in 2005.
Yeah, I've been there since 2005, exactly.
And he's also a musician. He's worked on CNET, and also you've done a lot with music. You worked at a radio, was it a radio station?
Yeah,
music director.
I did.
Okay, I kind of got some details, and there wasn't a whole lot on that. But so you've had a lot of background in music itself, and that's kind of your road because I see that you've released some recordings and mixtapes or different labels. And I was wondering if you could just tell me a little bit about yourself and your own musical path in the last years and what you're doing with it now.
Absolutely. So I've been involved in either making music or putting out music through small record labels that I've had since I was a kid, basically in high school. Been, like a lot of us in bands and putting out my own stuff and friends' stuff through labels that I started throughout the years. Did a lot of that in college as well. In college, I got involved in doing college radio, which then turned into a job as a music director at a community radio station. And, kind of from there, continued to put out music and worked with a friend on a group that we put out a few records with called Meanest Man Contest. Over the years, I've continued that project and done a lot of writing for music magazines. And then my most relevant experience that we might want to talk about here in terms of how that pertains to collaboration and the internet and that sort of things is that through a job at Wired that I had, I then got involved with Creative Commons, was the creative director there for about 5 years. And I've still, since I left as a full-time staff member a few years back, retained an ongoing relationship with them where I do a lot of the work with artists and also online platforms and getting them to understand and use Creative Commons licenses and Creative Commons licensed works. So that's, in a nutshell, some of my experience. I am still, as you mentioned, doing some of my own music projects, including some of my own original stuff, a lot of remixes for other people. And I also do, I have to put out a few mixtapes, kind of curating weird compilations of stuff that interests me.
So you release, I'm sure, your own music on Creative Commons. Do you release it all that way, or are you kind of choosy about what you use in that license?
I think everything that I have put out, especially in the last 7 or 8 years, has been under a Creative Commons license. I do choose different licenses for different pieces of music that I create. So, I really do try to be thoughtful about which license that I choose, mostly because I feel like, all of it I'd like for it to be, at the very least, shared non-commercially, also remixed I think that's something that everyone be into, having their music kind of repurposed and re-finagled by other people out there in the world. That's always something that I think is a lot of fun to see what people do with stuff that you put out there. So always fine with me. And then a lot of it put out under license that actually enable commercial use too. So that's fine with me for a lot of it too. But then there's some of it that I'd like to retain, you know, the right to at least say yes or no on a more individual basis, whether someone can use it commercially or not. So not all of it goes out under the most liberal license, but a lot of it does. And all of it goes out under one Creative Commons license or another.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those licenses or clauses, such as the non-commercial and the share alike and the attribution, and talk a little bit about what each of those, how first of all they can be used in particularly to music, and what are the benefits and what might be some of the downfalls, such as allowing it commercially. It's something I want to talk about a little bit more, but just kind of go through what those attributes are the clauses for these licenses.
Sure. So the different clauses of the licenses, all of them require attribution. So that means that no matter which Creative Commons license you find something out there in the world to be licensed under, you have to always give attribution or credit to the person that put it out under one of those licenses. Another is, like you said, non-commercial, which means that someone may attach a non-commercial clause to their work saying that you are able to use this as long as you give me credit and as long as you only do so for non-commercial purposes. One of them is called share alike, which says that you can use this, but only if you put it out. You know, any resulting work that you make from my original work, you also license back into the commons under the same license, so that you can't take something under a Creative Commons license, make something new out of it, and then not license that resulting work back into the Creative Commons. And then no derivatives, which means that sort of the opposite of remix. It says that you can take this work and share it in a verbatim way, but you can't make derivative works, you can't make remixes, you can't use it in works that are based on this work. It has to stay intact.
Okay, so as far as attribution, how would this work? Because I know that you can't use DRM when you're sharing CC license. So how would this work? Like, let's say I made a song with some collaborators that was under a non-commercial, but then we all really liked, I was the originator, and then we all kind of liked what came out of our work together. Can we change that license or modify it and use it, change the license to use as a DRM, or must it always remain under that license?
So if you make a work out of a Creative Commons work and you did not have the requirement to relicense that work back because it didn't, the original work didn't have a share-alike clause attached to it, you could conceivably make a new work that was not Creative Commons licensed, and in that scenario, it seems like you'd be able to put DRM around it. I mean, my personal sense is that there's probably not a lot of benefit, especially in 2014, to using DRM, but, you know, if that was your prerogative, it is your prerogative, if that was your choice to do. I think in that scenario, you probably could do that. When you mention attribution as sort of the way into that question, I mean, the way that Creative Commons sees the attribution requirement is that they want people to attribute in a way.
And at this point, I lost Eric just for a few seconds, but we're back.
You know, one of the things that comes up a lot is people say, well, okay, if I am a restaurant owner or a bar owner and I want to play a playlist of Creative Commons work, do I need to get on the microphone after each one of those songs plays and announce the, you know, name of that artist and the track? And the answer to that specific question is no, because that's not reasonable to the medium. When someone plays music in a club or a bar, they don't do that. So it would not be reasonable to add that extra sort of requirement on top of it just because you're using Creative Commons license work. So in a situation like that, what might be reasonable instead is to have a playlist on paper up at the front of the bar or the restaurant, or even a page on your website that had the information about which tracks are played that night, because that's more reasonable to the medium.
Okay. And you said, you know, in 2014, using DRM is not something. And that kind of brings me to, you know, a few articles I've read where you talk about kind of your ideas of how this open environment of the internet and sharing and collaborating is the new way. And I wonder if you could just kind of share those thoughts with us of you know, how do you feel that this, I mean, cause we're at a pivotal point. We've been at a pivotal point, but we're at a real pivotal point as to what we are to do as musicians in making a living.
Absolutely.
You know, and how, just give me kind of your own thoughts on that and how, and a broader vision of, because for me, I'm a musician and I make money at it, but of course it's a broader thing. It is the beauty of you know, that I've embraced with CC licensing of this openness of the creativity being more than just me, you know? And so if you could share some thoughts on that.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things to unpack there. And I think that, first of all, I, you know, fully agree with you that it's more nuanced than, you know, just saying, well, everything should be free to everyone all the time. And, you know, we do. And I specifically, as someone who has derived some part of my income from the music that I've made and other types of creativity too, my writing and, you know, photography, et cetera, I think it's really important to make smart choices about the kinds of ways that you offer your work out to the public. I don't think that it is appropriate to say that everything needs to be free for everyone in every case all of the time. I think that's one of the really cool things about Creative Commons licenses, that they address that concern, or, you know, that idea that there are ways to utilize the, you know, technology that's available to everyone, and the just the ways that people are very able to easily publish and distribute their work these days. You can, you know, use Creative Commons as a way to define the ways that you're willing to make your work available. It's not just one size fits all for everything. It's in the same way that all rights reserved is sort of a one size fits all approach to copyright. A no rights reserved approach would similarly be a one size fits all approach. And Creative Commons is more nuanced than that. It says that there are lots of types of creators out there. Some of them are going to want to put things out under a license that lets people use it commercially, and then other people are not going to want to do that. And then, of course, we understand that there's tons and tons of people that will never embrace this approach at all, that they're going to want to do things in a more closed way. And I personally don't place a value judgment on that. I think that that's a totally personal choice. And you know, that what we want to do is to provide tools that facilitate the kinds of uses that people already are making and creators already want to make possible, but to do it in a way that's easier and that it's also sort of systemized and that makes things interoperable with each other, so that people aren't putting stuff out there in a way that they think is open but really isn't open because, you know, it's not actually usable with all the other work that's out there in the world. Because if you sort of try to create your own terms, you say that, you know, this is available. Let me back up a bit and say that here's the sort of analogy that I think of. So if you think about a website like yours or even a photo website like Flickr, if everyone on Flickr in the comments of their photos said that this is available for free use, you have hundreds of millions of photos on Flickr at this point that are under Creative Commons licenses. If each one of those had sort of slightly different definitions of free attached to them, because people, when they said that phrase, they're, you know, making it available for free.
Oh, did I lose you there?
They had different intentions behind that slightly. Then I'm here.
Okay.
You still have me?
Yeah, I got you. Cut off just a second there, but go ahead.
Then all those different millions of works are not interoperable together. They're not actually usable together. When you have a system like Creative Commons that makes things interoperable, then you can take all of those works and use them together. You can also know when you come across them as a consumer of works that you, when you see that license icon, that you know exactly what's being offered to you. You don't have to read the fine print, and you don't have to make guesses about what someone means when they say that something's available to you to use for free.
You know, and that makes me think, like, the early, we're kind of in the stone ages of the computer, you know, because as far as, I've had a computer I've been working on one for maybe 18 years, and this is the beginning of exploration into what we can do. And that's what I love about the CC license, is that it allows exploration, because musicians are finding many more ways of making money, you know, with writing and blogging, with merchandise and stuff like that. And, you know, and kind of what you said about, the ability to explore that and to do it simply. Because I remember in the early days, I've been doing music for 23 years, the lawyers and also all the worries about rights, you know, mm-hmm. as a band that we would sit around and actually worry about this and mail CDs to ourselves. And when LA came in, it was all kinds of hubbub about that. And just so messy to actually get something out there, you know, and the simplicity of CC is just the beauty of it is that you, once you understand it, like you said, you can just go, you can use it without the process that we used to have to go through in this work. But I wanted to ask you some kind of detailed pictures of how this might be used to actually promote an artist and an artist actually making a living from it, or in some way using it in his career. Are there examples or how you've used it in your own career, your music career, or seen other musicians use this? And how can it help the artist, you know, further his own career?
Sure. I mean, I'd say that in one way, this is sort of a side benefit, almost an unintended consequence of Creative Commons licensing, is when you as an artist put a Creative Commons license and you make it clear that a work is licensed under Creative Commons, you're in a way, I think, signaling to people that you're open to collaboration. So even the kinds of collaboration that may not be directly facilitated by the license itself, when you use a Creative Commons license, my experience is that it's a signal to anyone who comes across your work that you're open to doing things like having your music used in a video that someone might create, or that you are part of this community of musicians that is trying to figure out the way forward and that is very open to the idea of collaboration across space and time and all those kinds of things. So increasingly, of course, that's just something that as a baseline, all musicians are becoming more and more open to. And as younger and younger people are the ones who are creating and publishing and distributing, we just kind of see as that as being the norm. But I think for, you know, just speaking more broadly, when I see a website or a CD or whatever it is that someone has put a Creative Commons license, gone out of their way to say, like, this is a thing that I want to express, that I want to, you know, not only am I making certain rights available through this license, but I'm almost, you know, sort of describing myself as part of a community by using the Creative Commons license. To me, that's, I think, a way of opening up what you do to a bigger audience. You know, sort of it relates in some ways to the problem with being a creator on the internet as being one of obscurity, not of, you know, people coming and using your work without your permission. That the real problem is that, you know, that it's hard to find people, and that you know, or it's hard to be found if you are a creator, and so you want to expose yourself to as many people as possible. So more tangibly, you're asking about this kind of like situations where people have used Creative Commons license to financial gain or to promote their careers. And yeah, there's a lot of them, and we've put together a couple of case studies over the years that I think are pretty interesting. You know, some are like at the platform level, so there are remix sites that, you know, invite people to come put stems or their entire songs on there and then have those turned into new works that can then you know, sort of travel beyond the scope of what they would have initially been heard through, because they have been incorporated into new works and just redistributed by new people. There are cases like yeah, I'm trying to think of a good example that isn't super old, but let's see, like, oh, one I've always liked is the band Deerhoof. They did this thing where before their single came out, and one of their new singles from a record a couple of years back, they put a Creative Commons license version of its sheet music out there. So the sheet music existed under a Creative Commons license before the actual recorded version of their single dropped. And what they were doing is promoting this single that wasn't even out yet by getting people to essentially record cover versions of it before they'd even heard it. And it was, you know, in some ways it's a gimmick, but it's also a really clever gimmick that gets people involved in collaborating with you in a very different way than just kind of, you know, putting a recorded piece of music out there under a Creative Commons license and saying, hey, you know, remix this. Because that's something that, you know, people do, and it's great, and it's a great way to invite people and fans into the process. But it also can be exploitive in some ways, you know, like where people, big bands kind of come in and just throw a Creative Commons license on something and say, hey, you know, fans, remix this. And what they essentially get out of that is like 100 free remixes. It's not really a true collaboration at that
level. It's not like really creating a tribe. I mean, because you're like you talked about, you touched on a lot of things, but the isolation before, because what we, you know, what we see and read in the books and everything is really a very small percentage of successful musicians. And a lot of them live in a lot of isolation in the town that they live in. And if they don't embrace, and they have the opportunity to embrace an identity, which Creative Commons is identified with, like the site that this podcast is about is composed, is which is kind of an identity. We are a community, and you identify with that, and you begin to build a crowd there and a tribe of your own. And SoundCloud is the same kind of situation where they create their own kind of identity by being the musicians that utilize that platform.
Absolutely. And I think that the good thing about those things too is that they're not exclusive at all. So you don't become a composed musician or a SoundCloud musician. You become part of that community and you meet people and you are able to collaborate and find new listeners and also discover new music yourself and maybe be inspired by some of that, incorporate elements into your own work. But it's not like you're signed to a record label or you're part of a scene. It's just this other channel, another avenue to meet people and to connect with and to learn you know, new things from. And that's what, you know, I think Creative Commons, while it's not a website, like it's not a discrete product like that, it is that in the sense that it sort of is an organizing principle for a certain set of musicians on the internet.
Yeah, and it kind of tells people right off that what you're about. You know, you're not it kind of it expresses kind of a freedom and a openness that artists like to express that they have, and they have in the marketing of the past, but they really were not working in that system. But to express that, hey, I'm here in this new environment of openness, of a global openness, and it, I think it can really benefit the artist in that way with his own fans and everything. That can be kind of a good, not, I hate using the word marketing, but a good marketing strategy for the view of your fans of you, you know.
Absolutely. And the great thing about it is that it's not just pure marketing. I mean, it's, you know, it is marketing because, you know, you are using it as a vehicle to get in front of more people, but it's also, you know, a way into being even more creative. So it's not just taking a product and then marketing it. It's actually through the process of being even more creative and opening up what you do to more people to experience and play with, you know, you are marketing it through your creativity. It's sort of a great way to build those two things together.
Yeah, I wanted to jump back on some more detailed things because you seem to know a lot about this, and I'm sure you should. Such as what kind of license? Let's say, as the originator, and I want to release it. I want it to be open and collaborated with, and to live on. Yet I want to also release it in a commercial way of my own. Which license would I go with for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the license that is by and large and most popular for music is what's called by and C, and those are abbreviations for those clauses that we talked about earlier. So by stands for attribution and NC stands for non-commercial. You know, what that means is that I'm putting a track out there or an album or a video or whatever the asset is, and I'm saying, yeah, you can use this and I want you to use it, but I want you to always give me credit, and I only want you to be able to use it in a non-commercial way without having to come back to me and ask for more permission. So that's the other cool thing we haven't totally made clear, I think, is that these are non-exclusive licenses, so you don't give up the ability to make separate kinds of deals on top of the flat one that you make across the to the whole public through a Creative Commons license. So, you know, that's what I would say, is that, you know, you put it out there in a way that makes the entire world able to use it in a non-commercial way without having to come and ask you for individual permission. But then you say, like, you know, if there are commercial uses that you'd like to make on top of the permissions that I've already granted you through the Creative Commons license, I'm totally open to that. Just send me an email at this email address and let's make a deal. And that's something that we see a lot of people do, is that, you know, they'll put a song or an album out there under a non-commercial license and then make it very clear that they're willing to be approached about making separate commercial deals on top of that. And those commercial deals aren't always the type, you know, that net hundreds of thousands of dollars, of course. But incrementally, they can add up. You know, there are lots of musicians that have CC works out there that have also made separate deals to make the tracks available for use in advertisements or in sort of, you know, soundtrack libraries that can be used for you know, background music and demonstration videos, or like the kinds that we talked about before, where you might make your music available to be played in restaurants or hotels. There's all different kinds of, you know, uses for music that are not just strictly about, you know, licensing a song for a major film soundtrack, right. Or
so you can move. I mean, these are made to be flexible, where you can decide to use the same work, maybe record it yourself with your own band and locally or something, but allow still that work to live on and not affect what, like, say, on Compose, what the collaborators there could do with it and continue to do it. You can still kind of feel this ownership that you can still control if you are an originator, where it can go. Is that kind of?
Yeah, I'd say that's true. I mean, you want to make sure that whatever Creative Commons license you put something out on under, that you're comfortable with anyone in the world using it under those terms. And then separately, you know, if you're willing to open it up to specific communities or specific people in different ways, then you're more than free to do that too. So, you know, I may use a more restrictive license to just post the track on my website, but then I may post it separately on Compose under a more liberal license because there's more that I want to see have happen there. Or I may break the track out into stems. I might have the drum track be posted separately from the vocal track and put those out under Creative Commons licenses to facilitate different kinds of remix.
Now, how would, like, a lot of artists I know make at least some, you know, pennies, revenues, some of them make a lot more than that, on their YouTube channels. And if they do a collaboration, if they have different collaborations of the same work that originate from a CC license, would those have to be non-commercial if they were to post, hey, check out this, but they would have to take the ads off that particular YouTube video if it was identified as a non-commercial use?
So if someone else was using your non-commercial track, is that what you mean?
Yeah, let's say that so I originated something. I put it up on Compose.
Yeah.
Another artist, you know, it was just vocals, and he made a whole song, and then he made a music video and put it on his YouTube and used advertising on it. Does it get that specific?
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you have made your vocal track available, but under a non-commercial license, if someone takes that and uses it as the basis for a new song that they then want to commercialize, yes, they would have to come back to you to make sure to get the commercial rights to do that. You know, if they were making money off of advertisement on YouTube and the track that they were doing that with use your non-commercially licensed vocal track, that would be a violation of the license. So yeah, I mean, but in that case, really, what they would just need to do is to contact you to make sure that, yeah, outside of the scope of that non-commercial license, would they be able to make some separate deal with you to use your vocal track commercially? And presumably they'd make some sort of financial deal with you to make that arrangement.
Okay. Well, what do you see as the future of this, of Creative Commons, and what legal, has there been any legal, cases with Creative Commons introduced into courtrooms at this point?
Yeah, so a couple of things. On the future question, I'd say that, you know, what's great.
I guess I meant the legal future of it, but you can go on to the broader future of it.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the future. I mean, the future of the sort of legal aspect of it. I think that what's been really interesting is that there have been so few court cases around Creative Commons licenses, and there are hundreds and hundreds of millions of works out there in the world that are under Creative Commons licenses, and you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of uses of Creative Commons license works. Yet there have been very few cases where the license has been unclear to one of the users, and to the degree that it's had to go to court, which is, we think, a great victory, because it means that that has reduced the amount of friction that would normally exist in a relationship like that, because it just makes very clear what is actually being made available in terms of permissions. So the few cases over the years that have gone to court, though, have what has been, I'd say, a victory for Creative Commons and the community of people that supports and believes in Creative Commons, is that every one of those cases has come out in favor of the idea that Creative Commons is a 100% valid way to offer and license copyright permissions. Okay. So if someone violates a part of a Creative Commons license, it is a copyright violation. There's no, by using a Creative Commons license, you haven't invalidated the fact that you have copyright rights. In fact, you have just used it as a way to make certain of those rights available to anyone of the public. And if someone violates the rights that you have not made available to them through the Creative Commons license, then it is a violation of copyright, just as it would be as if you didn't use a Creative Commons license at all. So, been very few cases, but the ones that have, and actually none that I can think of around music specifically, primarily the ones that I've heard about or read about have had to do with photos.
Yeah.
But in those cases, it's been, like I say, ruled that the violation of a clause of a Creative Commons license is a violation of copyright, which is good.
Yeah, and it is a contract. It's a binding contract between the users. So, well, what do you see? Well, let's go on to that broader thing. What do you hope that Creative Commons will achieve with in a broader scope for musicians? But I know you're involved with musicians and writers and photographers, artists. What is the hopes of this in the future?
Sure. I mean, so there's two things I want to say about that. One is that, I think that a really interesting thing is that I feel like Creative Commons has helped move the dialogue in the right direction. So while there are more and more users of the licenses themselves every day, there's also these other complementary approaches. I think that, if you think back to 10, 15 years ago in the climate around the web in terms of sharing, it was pretty closed off and it wasn't very supportive or embracing of the idea of things being made available in this way. But increasingly, you see, either through technological measures or through copyright license like Creative Commons, that things are more and more open, within reason and with different sorts of restrictions, et cetera. But the baseline is that openness is a good thing, and that it shouldn't be something that you try to shut down with DRM or whatever. So I think that's a good thing. And I think we're going to see, more and more people not only using Creative Commons licenses and in new ways, but I think also just more complementary ways of things being open, which to me is a real victory. And then more specifically about the future of the organization, I think that one of the real opportunities for us is to be involved in the world of educational content. So, I think we've made a really good mark over the years in informing and making relationships with people in the cultural world, where people who create cultural assets and who make music and photos and all the things we just talked about. But that there's this completely other world that we're making a lot of headway in, but I think that the opportunity is enormous for more educational resources to be made available under the very most liberal of Creative Commons licenses, so that that content, which is obviously extremely high value, can be made available for people all around the world to use and to adapt. So that's a lot of where the organization's focus is right now.
Well, I tell you, I have a very like kind of personal feeling about Creative Commons because my parents were musicians and they did pretty well in the gospel music in the 70s, actually. And they had a wonderful album. And I was cleaning, this was some years ago, but I was cleaning out my my attic, and I pulled down all these tapes of all the songs they had written that nothing had ever happened to. In fact, they're only in my attic. And I thought about how many times I get pinged on a Twitter or Facebook or see my own music that once sat in a drawer being spread all over the world, and it's on people's iPods and on their computers and being listened to. And there's the joy of just knowing that for me as the type of artist that I am is just something that lives on beyond what I have to offer in my 40 years, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's really beautiful to me. But we would love to have something, some CC work that you've done to reasonably attribute on the show and close out with, but I've just enjoyed talking with you. If you had anything to close up with, Eric, just about your own, what you're working on now, I'd love to do a whole show on your work with the Cash music.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And that's something I'd really like to talk about it. But if you want to just tell a little bit about some of the things that you're doing and just for our listeners to hear, and we'll end it out with either a composed song or whatever we can get our hands on. And it was just so nice talking to you, Eric.
Oh, it was great to talk to you too. And I especially liked to hear that story about your parents' album. And I hope that you'll actually share that with me. But I think that that's exactly the sort of, you know, like thing that we love to hear, that I love to hear at least, is about, you know, people that have made things that you know, aren't known as widely as they could be, but because there is this ability with the internet and people that are just voracious consumers of new, interesting music that they haven't heard before, that there's a possibility that that's going to get in front of more people. That's just awesome. As for what I'm working on currently, I would love to talk to you more about Cash music someday. Cash right now is definitely a focus of mine. We're putting together a series of summits. There's actually one in New York this coming weekend where we've got a bunch of speakers coming to talk broadly just about the intersection of music and technology and, you know, trying to bring those two worlds together. So people who represent those two worlds often don't get in the same room. They're kind of the music conversations and the technology conversations, and often not often enough do they get together to sort of work towards building a future together. And so we're trying to make more of that kind of stuff happen. So we've been setting up this series of summits in different cities around the country to bring people together. So cashmusic.org is where to get information about the events and also the other initiatives that we're taking on. And that's one of my favorite projects that I work on right now.
Yeah, and I'm really excited. And I think I told you in an email, but I've looked at Cash Music long before I knew who you were. So I for sure want to have you back on. Thank you so much, Eric. Well, I really enjoyed talking to you. You shared a lot with us.
Likewise, I really appreciate it. And it was great talking to you too.
Okay, thank you.
Well, what a great show. And we'll have to have him back on to talk about Cash Music. Today, as promised, this is my pick of the week. This is a song that I like to listen to, and I'm listening to it a lot right now. This is a song by Widow's Mite, Lori Martin on compose, and it has Nikolai Ofendani, and I believe Rick Burrell's working on it, but the collaboration will be in the notes. Enjoy this, and as always, write in podcast at compose.com, KOMPOZ.com. I'm Ezra Vansel. And if there was any songs you heard in the show that I didn't mention, just check the notes, go and compose, and you can actually jump in the collaborations and work on them yourself. This is Love. Enjoy. We'll see you next time. Peace. Swirling you.
Don't fat dog.